Better meddle with the deal than the barons of Falkirk.
So, oh, yeah, brilliant.
So there's a clue about our next guest on the latest A View from the Cloud podcast. You're listening to the second in a series from the team at Prima Software. Now, over the next 12 weeks, we'll look closely at the amazing people, customers, suppliers, industry players, and of course the Prima guys who are working together are driving the leading business platform for the UK office products industry. Join with me, Steve Harrop, on a journey through the Prima Cloud. We continue with Bern Gordon Prophet, owner and the man behind the Citrus Group. How are you, Gordon? How does it feel to be the first customer on the Prima podcast?
Oh, I can just see this.
Angel of the North.
I can't really see you, if you know what I mean.
That's part of the plan.
Is this recording?
It is.
I'm well. Yeah.
Oh, I'm excellent. Yeah, thanks. I mean, you're the first customer on the Prima podcast, so how does that feel?
Well, it can only get better from here for Prima, then, eh?
What you mean?
Only ways up from here.
Get some others in, you mean?
Yeah. Right. No, I think it was nice to be asked by Rob and the team. They're great guys to work with, eh?
And that they, I think they recognise the input you put in too, as well, because I think you've been pretty active with them, haven't you?
Yeah, and I think I know we're going to come to it a bit later, but I think a big part of our change is people related.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. So here we go. Let's crack into the first question. Now, I know you've worked in different sectors in our industry, so give us a bit of info about your background for those who really don't want to hear it.
Well, I'll try and not make it too dull. I started off in the paper industry, working for a paper mill in Scotland, selling the Sabre brand of products, which a few of us older guys will probably remember. Then I worked for Pentel, where I learned a hell of a lot from people like Sir Joe Moran and Rod Jones, trained me up properly, gave me the right worth ethic, terrific company to work for. Then, for reasons unknown at the time, but with a young family, decided to start up my own little wholesaling business with a chap called Phil Morrison in Scotland. And 4 years after we started it, Alan Hickman came knocking on the door and I joined Kingfield. And I guess that 14 years I spent there kind of shaped the kind of person that I am. You're working with some big characters like sort of Dave Graspe, yourself, Steve, without wanting to blow too much smoke, Jim Davis, John Rogers. I guess most of all, and you probably agree with me on this, I would think, but Alan Hickman being such a great influence, and you know, he's sadly no longer with us. And then being through the changes at Kingfield when they bought ISA, and I felt it was then 10 months after that it was time to go and do something different. And probably not all people don't know this, but I actually had two options at the time. And this is quite ironic, actually, because one of them was to go and join the team at Blue Sky at the time. They were looking for somebody to head up the whole thing, and I talked to the people there. And then I had an option to go and purchase a dealership. For some bizarre reason, I chose buying a dealership. And then the banks went Pete Tong about 3 months later. So it was a really good move. And I am where I am till today. So that's 13 years ago. So that's my background, Steve, really.
Yeah. And I mean, of course, we shared a number of years together at Kingfield.
Yeah.
They were great, great years, a great company. Yeah. I think the spirit and the, I'd say, generosity of people within that company was the thing that struck me, particularly Lee, coming from Alan. And everybody made time for you, whatever you did.
Yeah. It's funny, I remember there's certain things that you remember. Do you remember the Aztec conference? Do you remember that in Bristol?
Yeah.
It was the late 90s, maybe 90s. It was probably 96, about the year after I joined. And I remember that day when Alan, it was a, everybody get a big brain dump, and we had post-it notes stuck all around the room. And it was a time when Kingfield were really rapidly growing. Some people were capable of getting on that journey and some probably weren't. And I remember Jim Davis saying, you know, maybe we've got to be a little bit tougher with some of the people who are maybe not performing. And I think he used the B word. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was on day one. And I remember on day two when we were summing up, and this is still sticks with me today, Alan just summing up at the end of the day, and he said, I'm paraphrasing obviously, but it was along the lines of, anyway guys, I'll let you be all the bees and I'll continue to be the nice guy. And I can still hear him saying it to this day, and that's 25 years ago. He was such a lovely man, and it actually, his nature permeated right through that business.
Yes, Yeah, it did. It wasn't just infectious because he wasn't that kind of massively over-enthusiastic guy, but he led by example, and that was great. I mean, we could spend, to be honest, Gordon, we could spend a whole...
Yeah, but Alan,
whole thing about Alan, really, because he's my mentor. He's the guy that did it. I'll just tell you one little story about when he was seriously ill. He had an issue with his liver, and he was in hospital in Worksop, and David and I had been down in the south working with Roger, and we heard. And you probably remember at that time, David and I were slightly out of favour for a conference in Leicester. And
Yes.
And we drove back.
Before I joined my Miad.
All right. So we drove back and thinking, well, do you know what? Doesn't matter where we are. We're going to see him. And we went in there and I went into the shop, the little shop in the hospital, small local hospital. And I bought him a balloon and a book. And the balloon and the book matched. And I went to his bed and he was there. And I tied the balloon onto his bed, you know, bearing in mind that we were in the doghouse. And the book and the balloon were the same theme. It was a Mr. Man book, Mr. Clever. and that changed again, you know, he kind of warmed again to us, but yeah, those days. Right, so less about Alan and Kingfield, and what about the last 18 months then for you guys, because it's been a roller coaster for the industry. So
I think it's been an 18 months that certainly people of our vintage will have never experienced before, and I would think that the guys who are early on in this industry will probably never experience again. You know, I think back to the week before lockdown, I was in intensive care with COVID. I remember coming out and thinking sales had gone from one figure to a third of that figure within overnight, basically, because everybody was closed. And you sort of think, right, how are we going to do this? How are we going to manage this? And the reality is you get your heads together and think, right, what can we go and sell? What's going to be needed? What was needed at that time was face masks and hand sanitizer and loads of janitorial products and all that, and you couldn't get it. And if you got it, it was like gold dust, and you could, without want to sound overly profiteering, you could charge a premium for it. And then it was amazing because I would have said from mid-April, second week in April possibly, through to about the third week in June, and then it fell off the end of the cliff. Whether the market was flooded with all the stuff arrived, masks and gloves and sanitizer all arrived, but it just fell off the end of a cliff. It was a tough summer for us, probably tough right through to November. But we've gradually built the business back, and we're only about 1 point off. Our financial year finishes the end of September, and we're only just about 1% behind 2019 financial year now. So we're almost back to normal. However, the mix is completely different.
Exactly.
Completely different.
Yeah. But great performance from your team, really, isn't it? So everybody...
We made a few redundant early on. We've built the team back a little bitty. Appointed a sales director in Colin Palazzo that loads of people will probably know from. He's in Talis and Premier Paper days, and he's made a difference, taking a lot of pressure off, another brain to think as well. That all helps. We've restructured the sales team, restructured the finance team, so we're in a much better position now than we were. Because I think there's at times you think, are we going to get through this? The other thing that struck me over these 18 months, Steve, is that the way that dealers have all started to work together. There's people in this industry now that I knew before the pandemic. I'm now on the phone to them two and three times a week now. We've all helped each other, bounce ideas off each other, collaborated, worked together. And I think that's the real benefit of the independent dealer. They've got that nimbleness about them, that entrepreneurship that some of the more corporate businesses across the globe, not just in our industry, don't have that ability to change direction quickly, whereas we have. And the reality is, does it really matter what we're selling? No, it's about the numbers. It's about the numbers.
We always talked about that, didn't we? You know, this concept of just shake a building, let it drop out, anything we should go for.
Absolutely.
Well, you're talking about change. I think that's a good point to bring it back to Prima, really. So you changed your back office system, I don't know quite when, but you did, to Prima from another American-based business, let's say. Tell us a bit about the main reasons why you switched.
Well, we made the decision in the autumn of 2020. And we moved at the start of March this year. Oh, why did we move? We loved Horizon. Yeah, we used it to its max. The team all knew it back to front, inside out. And I always sort of said, moving back office systems going to be tougher than anything, even more tougher than moving a wholesaler, I think. We just felt that, you know, Prima had been knocking on our door for a number of years. And we just felt it was time to think about the business longer term. And I really clicked with the people there. didn't really have any relationships left at ECI. We ran our own web shop separately when we were on ECI, so we didn't run Horizon Web. The thought of going to a more integrated system did attract us. A lot of the automation that Prima do on suppliers was a big attraction as well. I think, to be fair on Prima, is it better than Horizon than other areas? I think they would admit that it's probably needs to catch up in some areas. However, the difference is there's people within that business who really get it and really want to work with the dealer community to make sure their product is best in class, I think. And I've got to say that when we moved at the end of February, you know, you're thinking that first day of how do we get a sales order on and how we get a delivery note on an invoice and we want the Sage and all this sort of stuff. But, you know, people like team that take you across that journey, you know, like Sir Rob Polvani Jones, just superb people. And with the patience of a saint, with the absolute patience of a saint, and I owe that lad a beer. And I'm going to, at some point, take him out and thank him for the efforts and the help that they gave us. In a funny sort of way, because we were all still kind of working from home in some way, we had a Zoom call open every morning with the team. It was quite good for us because we could learn off each other. You know, how do you do this? How do you do that? How do you do t'other? So I think we've moved for the future and looking at where they're going to develop the product moving forward. And we're there now. There are, like every system, there are bits that frustrate me. But I know the guys are on it and are working on it. So I've got nothing but praise for them in the big scheme of things. Our business hasn't collapsed. I haven't lost any customers as a result. In fact, we've probably gained some customers through the improvements on the web shop.
Great. You mentioned two points there about automation and integration, particularly of the web shop. So that must have had a big impact. And that's where Prima obviously come up really with the answers for you. So what about the main IT challenges do you think you've got in the next 12 months?
I want to get a telephone system because we're a business that's got two sites and one or two still working from home, which I think is always going to happen. They might be in the office a couple of days out and about, but still working from home. I'm kind of looking for an internet-based system that can pull everything together, and not just your telephones, but Zoom or whatever software that is.
Yep.
Can allow us to share files, do like a Messenger or a WhatsApp type thing. We've looked at a couple of products already, so that's one that we're going to do. The current system we've got is internet-based, and we've got another 10, 12 months on that now. So once that we're through that, that's where we're going to look at. In terms of the back office system, we've got a workwear web shop that I'd like to get that integrated into Prima. But that's a bit more difficult than a bit more challenging because that's a third-party software company that runs that for us. I would have thought is trying to get as much automation as possible, Steve, make it as slick as possible. There's loads of things that, I guess if you were putting everything through the one source, you could automate it a lot more. Because we stock quite a bit, because we've got the wholesale business as well as the end user business, it does make it more challenging to automate.
Good. I mean, part of your business, isn't it? You mentioned the wholesale side of it, it's dealers. And also, if I'm not mistaken, you import stuff as well, don't you?
Yeah.
So tell us more about that and how Prima has an impact in that.
Well, it doesn't, but we have got some plans.
Right.
So we've been discussing putting the Ainsworth product file on their marketplace and setting up electronic links for EDI with Premier dealers. And we've got the capability as well to do that with other back office providers as well, because they've got links from the likes of ECI anyway into dealers. So we're working away with them on that. So, but that's in the early days. I guess like everything, Steve, you jump from one project, but you've got one plan and this plan, and then something else comes up and you just say, well, we'll come to that. We'll get to that, you know.
Yeah.
But that's something we've been talking about. And part of moving to Prima was that we knew that we could automate Ainsworth, make it easier for dealers. And I think dealers are looking at choice now. I think they are looking at being some real challenges for the big wholesalers. And, you know, crikey, look, Spicers are no longer. I know they've come back as OT and Vow are a massive part of our structure, and they've had their challenges, and that's made it difficult for everybody, you know.
I mean, I think that leads on to another question, really, about the areas that dealers need the most support in. Is the things missing today, the trade feds, the groups, the wholesalers? I mean, they can't do everything, can they?
No.
Can they do more?
I think because it seems to be one challenge after the other for the wholesalers, yeah? It obviously was COVID, then it's social distancing, and it's lack of stock in the channel, then it's Suez and, you know, the Suez Canal. And
but you meant the war there, 1956.
But you know, they've got a new ops director in now, Vow, so they seem to, certainly in the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've seen some improvements. to a lot of things. I think what could dealers do with support with is different dealers, I think, have got different challenges. So you've got the guy who's been under £1 million of turnover, and there's lots of them in this industry, and will have a different challenge from a Prism or a Heaton's or a Future Form, who I don't think there's one thing you could say that the dealers need this, that and the other. I think what they do need is stability, absolute stability, and they could do with certainty. There's still a bit of, and all the big suppliers, you know, we've all had challenges from the big wholesaler right down to the £300,000 turnover dealer. We've all had those challenges, and it's about managing them as best we can. But the world has changed, and I think what will happen in the big upturn in September that people seem to think is going to come? No, for me, it's not.
Some costs as well are going to increase, aren't they, from September? Because I think the government's finally going to start trying to get something back. It's interesting that point you made about supply, because I was talking to somebody who works for Cafe Nero on the supply side.
Yep.
And they were saying that they're struggling to get not just the goods that they want for the products that they sell, but they aren't actually get delivery sorted because there's no drivers for them to be able to deliver them to their from their distribution centre right the way through to all of the shops they've got. And so their service levels have dropped alarmingly. And I don't think they're alone in that. I mean, I'm having a massive spat at the minute with Royal Mail, who haven't delivered to us for 8 days because the local guy's on holiday. The replacement is also away. And then the third one they brought in did it for one day and said, this isn't for me. So
it seems to be across all industries. And because our service levels are not being what they are because of the challenges in the channel, we're kind of getting a bit of grace because, you know, if you're delivering to selling to a manufacturer who he's struggling to get a hold of wood and timber and he's struggling to hold of steel. So when you kind of get a hold of some highlighters or you kind of get a hold of laminate pouches, he kind of gets it a bit. You know what I mean? That's kind of it. So
there is one product that people can get a hold of fitting easy, though.
Yeah, go on.
Catalytic converters from your car. I mean, we had that on Thursday of last week where they lifted up my partner's car and
stole the car out of the car.
They just lifted up on the curb, broad daylight. Three guys wearing masks. All the neighbours were out. They just told them where to go, took it off, and then drove off. I shouldn't laugh.
That's,
really,
that's London for you. That's London for you.
No, do you know what? I just want to pick. It's happening everywhere. Leicester has got a big problem. You got problems in Brighton.
Converters.
Yeah, particularly with Japanese cars. And now BMW ones can't supply any spare parts for about 14 days. For the same product, you know, for the issue. Crazy. Anyway, that's an aside, but I just want to throw that one in. If you've got a spare catalytic converter, anybody, by the way, for a BMW 1, just give me a ring. Let's talk about acquisition and consolidation, because I know you've acquired our friend and yours, Rogers. Yeah, business. Yeah. Plans for any more? Or
no, not at the minute. I think we need to make sure that everything's as stable as we can around our business as best we can. If something dropped on the lap, then you'd obviously look at it. In saying that, though, we have had a conversation with somebody in another sector. That could happen. That could happen. But I think going to buy another office supply company, I've done it twice, three times now. It would have to be really simple and really easy for us to want to do that. I think into other sectors, I think it would be useful to have a look at that. So we're having a discussion with somebody on that at the minute, but let's see where that goes. It's early doors on that.
Okay, I mean, diversity is a big factor, I think, in business now, particularly for smaller businesses. What about online competition? Because you've obviously had web shops. You're telling us there's one in suppliers. You've got one in workwear. Is your business now pivoted to a multi-channel operation?
I don't know about that, but I think what it is, Steve, is that the internet just commoditized everything, isn't it? You could go and do a deal with Joe Bloggs Group of Solicitors and do a squeaky price on 10 items and overall be making cash on them, making money on the account. When one of the onliners decides to drop 5 or 6 prices to grab a few more customers, it's the whole world can see that. And that has caused a lot of angst. So I think we're very much business to business. We've not really got involved in looking for people who are working from home to order online with us. In fact, you can't see price unless you've got a login with ourselves. And we're very much focusing on our larger accounts to try and reduce our cost to serve.
Yes.
The reality is if they're spending, you know, 50, 60 quid a month and wanting 2 or 3 deliveries, you can't make any money on it. So we're focusing on at the top end and trying to get more penetration within to those accounts. Like, to be fair, with Prima Go, that's allowed us to do that because customers like it in terms of the search, the the speed of making sure data is accurate. So from that perspective, and we're looking at things like punch out with Prima as well. We've got a couple of customers, one especially who's really interested in looking to punch straight into your system with a, from their back office system.
Yes.
And the great thing about that, you really tie them in.
Of course.
These are the sort of things that I think we're going to go moving forward.
Okay, great. The final question, really, I'm just looking ahead. What does 2022 look like? Previously, I've asked, what about the next 5 years? But that's right out the window.
I think it's consolidation. I think it's sorting, you're making sure your business is on solid footing. I think it's making sure you've got the right people in the business. I think it's making sure you're working with the right partners. And I'm not just talking about suppliers of goods. I'm talking about, are the financial people you're working with the right people? Are the premises in the right for your business moving forward? So I think it's us consolidating where we are. Our financial year starts in October. So we're in the mid plotting that out in terms of numbers at the moment. I would have thought you've got to be growing though, Steve, because of the amount of inflation that's in the marketplace. You know, if you shifted the same volume as you shifted this year, I reckon you're going to grow 10-15% anyway because of price increases.
Yeah.
I think if dealers are not showing some sort of decent growth by quarter four this year, they are definitely going backwards, or they've not passed the price increases on. Some of these have been massive, Steve.
But that's been a problem for years, hasn't it, really? Not passing on price increases with a lot of dealers fearing that they're going to be caught out. And the internet doesn't help that.
No,
however,
it doesn't.
If you can keep your costs down or look at where you can reduce your costs, I think that's the key, isn't it, really? If you get some growth, your cost line stays steady or you take some out. And you've always been an exponent of that. I've never, ever forgotten the conversations we used to have in the friendly boardroom where you were talking about cost reduction and things. So that makes sense.
I think it's looking after your overhead. I think you've got to be careful, though, that you take it out in the wrong place, you know. And I think from a dealer's perspective, for me, the people who bring the business in for you are your front-end salespeople. Mm-hmm. And that's where I would always look to invest and keep your admin to a minimum. And if you can get a computer system that helps you keep that admin to the minimum, then, you know, we've taken on a couple of apprentices now. I have got quite a mature team, and that includes me. So
I've never heard you'd been described as being mature before, Gordon.
Immature. Okay, we'll say old. I'll say old then.
All right,
immature then. So I think from that perspective, Steve, I think moving forward this year it's consolidating where we are. I think it's very much a consolidation, trying to make sure that you're making money as well. But if an opportunity comes along, take it. You know, that's what we are. We're little boats on the sea, the ocean. We can turn, and if there's an opportunity there, and that's the last year's taught me that. You know, the amount of weird things that we've sold in the last year that we knew nothing about, it's just been mind blowing, some of this.
So, with you talking about little boats bobbing on the ocean, Bonnie Prince Charlie coming from the Isle of Skye, I think this leads us on to the quick fire bit of fun round.
All right, go on.
Right, here we go. Right, I'm going to stick you in a lift. It's broken, and you have a choice of who you can be with. Who's it going to be, and why?
Oh, right. I thought you were going to give me either ors there.
Later.
All right. Gosh, who do I want to be in a lift with? Oh, gosh. That's a good one, eh?
Especially with Tracy listening in the background.
Yeah, no, she's upstairs. But she's going to hear it, isn't she? So whatever I say.
We'll cut that out if it's controversial anyway.
Jack Nicklaus.
Okay, yeah. Good shout.
Been my hero all my days in terms of that. I just think it'd be fascinating to chat to him for a couple of hours.
Definitely. Right, so now, Priti Patel is going to kick you out the country and you have to emigrate, so where would you go?
I really like the Bahamas.
We'll stick at that one. Right, are you ready? Billy Bremner or Dennis Law?
I've met Billy Bremner, so I'll say Billy Bremner.
A man from Stirling. Yeah, there we go.
He's from Stirling, yeah.
Yeah. Mike Ashley or Philip Green?
Oh, it'd have to be Mike Ashley. I know, Philip Green,
I'm good.
I'm sorry, but Philip Green, oh gosh.
They're both sharks, aren't they? Mike Ashley's just going to live by the skin of his teeth, isn't he?
Yeah, I think you could go for a pint with Mike Ashley, though. He's more from our playground, I think.
I know what would happen with the pint that I had. Right, Gary Lineker or Gabby Logan?
Gabby Logan.
Now, I've met and know Gabby Logan from her dad, Terry, when I used to coach Leeds under 13 schools team with Terry and the brother Jordan. So we met up recently at a big event at Lords. It's quite interesting, really, having
all right.
She did remember
me. Nice?
She's lovely.
Nice?
Oh, she's a really, really nice person.
Yeah,
fantastic. Yeah, yeah, great. Roadrunner or Woody Woodpecker?
Oh, have to be Woody Woodpecker. Can you catch Roadrunner?
like that one. That's great. That'll stay in.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Donald Trump or Boris Johnson?
Gosh, Donald Trump, because he probably knows more people to get me out of there.
Oh, he could talk about golf anyway. Or he,
yeah, well, of course, it's either that or the other one. I'll just lie to you. So whatever you want. Okay.
Right, who's going to... Last question on this one, then. Who would win in a fight between a kangaroo and a hyena?
Yeah. I think a hyena would win, but a lot of people have told me it would be a kangaroo.
I think it's cunning, isn't it? Hyena's got a bit of cunning about them, but wait until the kangaroo's tired of trying to punch him out. But we all would like a kangaroo.
I think we'd all like it, but I think with the hyena locked on, I think the kangaroo would be toast. So it's a bit like one of my sales reps after the deal.
Thanks for that, Gordon. That's been brilliant. We've had a bit of fun and learned a lot about citrus, Prima, your view of the industry. So thanks really for those thoughts. I very much appreciate it. You've been listening to A View from the Cloud, brought to you by Prima Software and hosted by me, Steve Harrop. There's so much more to read and learn about, and you can do this by going to www.primasoftware.co.uk. So until the next time, we hope you've enjoyed this session of A View from the Cloud, and cheers.